Should I really buy a home now? Are prepay penalties good or bad? Should my loan officer be licensed? This time on Mortgages Made Simple.
Mortgages Made Simple with Rick Gunzik, helping you get the best home loan possible. Sponsored by Pacific Residential Financing at pacificresidential.com. And now, here's your host, mortgage expert, Rick Gunzik.
Welcome to Mortgages Made Simple, where we help you understand the complicated world of mortgages and help you get the best home loan possible. And joining me as always is my fabulous co-host and producer, Douglas E. Welch from WelchRight.com.
I feel like I should be doing this in a Price is Right sort of voice here. I don't know. Fabulous.
I'm paying homage to Bill Barker. Bob Barker.
Bob Barker. There you go. So, Rick, boy, user questions, listener questions coming fast and furious. And let me just tell people, if you have a question to ask Rick, please send it in. You can email us at mortgagepodcast@gmail.com, or you can call it into our listener line. And that number is on the website, pacificresidential.com/show. And there's even a free button there where you can click that and the voicemail system will call you for free.
What a deal. I think the reason we're getting a lot of questions now, Doug, is that the time of year. It's kind of... You know, last week's show was New Year's resolution, so maybe some people kind of started looking at their mortgages. And I just, the time of year, people start having a lot of different questions because they want to do something. And this is supposed to be a record year for adjustable resets, basically adjustable loans that have been fixed for 2 years, adjusting into the adjustable portion of the loan. It's supposed to be something like $2 trillion worth or some insane number like that. So,
well, and you said now that was happening in February, right?
Yeah, February and March are the biggest 2 months, I believe, of this year, and then the rest of the year is pretty strong as well, and it starts petering out over that period, but it's still really high. It still stays pretty high for about 3 years, 3 years after from now, so it stays pretty high. But our first question, Doug, is Judy in San Diego wants to know if now is a good time to buy a house, and I've actually gotten this question from a few people over the past week, one asking me if I think values are going to fall anymore, and you know, it's a tough macroeconomic question, but it almost becomes a microeconomic question, taking you back to college economics that I know you all love so much.
I was going to say, you're gonna confuse me again, aren't you?
No, I try and stay away from that. But it's very difficult to predict housing prices, obviously. And back, I always like to equate this period with 1990-ish, 91, when the housing prices fell, I believe it was 22% in Orange County and LA County and across the nation. To be honest with you, I don't know the exact number, but I know it wasn't as high as it was in LA and Orange County. But at that time, you had the aerospace industry laying off a ton of people. So we talked about this a couple weeks ago, too. You had the aerospace industry laying off a bunch of people. So people were leaving California. So that was creating, you know, no demand for housing. The interesting thing about California now is you still have a demand for housing. So people are still moving here. But nobody wants to sell our houses at a loss now, and they have come down in certain areas. I've seen in certain areas of Orange County, I've seen housing prices drop 5 to 8%. Certain pockets have dropped even higher. Certain pockets out in the San Bernardino Riverside County areas have dropped as much as 30%. And you don't really notice it because it doesn't hit the media in those certain areas because it's really limited to certain neighborhoods. And what's happening is there's a couple neighborhoods. There's one neighborhood in Fontana where there's something like 8 houses in foreclosure on the same street. So you can see what happens to the value on that street. It just gets thrashed because you've got 8 houses selling for basically what's owed on them and less. So it really kills the values on that street. So you see some of the pocket areas falling like that. And across the nation, they released the housing prices drop a little bit across the United States. Now, there's still areas that are appreciating. You've got Washington appreciating. Oregon is still doing very well. Iowa and Indiana were doing okay. I was surprised to see Indiana was doing okay. Someone had told me it was doing bad, but in the last index, it showed that it was appreciating a little bit. So there's still states that are appreciating. And I think that it all comes down to what your goal is too, Doug. If you're in a house right, or if you're renting right now, and she didn't mention if she was a first-time home buyer or what, but if she was renting right now and was looking to buy a condominium, condos tend to fall quicker, so they've probably already fallen to where they're falling. And it's probably a good time to buy if you can afford it and if it makes sense, because you don't want to wait forever. Because it's kind of like, I don't know if you guys recall when you wanted to buy your first computer and they were $2,000 and you kept wanting to wait for it to fall in price. Well, if you keep waiting for it to fall in price, at that time, you just kept waiting and waiting. And you always said, well, I want the better models because it'll be, you know, cheaper. And
there is some point where you have to get into the market. Now, you want to do that as smart and as smartly and as wisely as possible. But yeah, there does come a point where you do need to sort of, you know, grit your teeth and jump in. Now, one question I had for you, Rick, it seems that if you could find a homeowner who had actually bought during the previous down cycle and therefore is not, you know, taking a loss on their home compared to what they bought it for.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, like myself, for example, I could sell my house at a profit right now, even at a price much lower than, you know, what's out there currently on the market. So that's an interesting, I don't know how you would find those people, but that might be an interesting thing to try.
Yeah, that's a good point too. And I think the thing to do for Judy out there is find a good real estate agent that knows the area you want to move to and have her give you a history of the values in that area for the last 10 years. Because basically anybody that bought, the peak, they're saying the peak in housing prices was just about, like, I think it was October or November of 2005. So anybody that bought before then, you're going to have someone with equity. And anybody who bought before then, obviously, it's going to be a bit of a problem. But definitely, I think if you do your research, it's a great time to buy Judy, because I don't think housing prices are going to fall that much more. But it's definitely something you want to talk over and find a good real estate agent to help you in that area, Doug. That brings us to question number two, Doug.
Yes, question number two. I feel like the great Karnak here, but okay, go ahead.
Isabella from Fontana would like to know if she has to have a prepay penalty because her FICO score is low. Her loan officer said that she must take a prepay penalty because she has a low FICO score and it'll give her a better interest rate. Okay, I have a couple qualms about this.
Well, that doesn't sound like it makes sense.
Yeah.
Because I don't see how those two things are related. Is that correct?
No, it really gets down to the loan officer wants to make a little more money. And that's where it's important to pick a good loan officer, because if your FICO score is low, you know, there's no guideline that says you must take a prepay penalty. Basically, what happens when a loan officer sells you a prepay penalty is it gives them more money from the bank they're selling the loan to. That's all that really happens.
Oh, she needs to find a new loan officer then.
Yeah, exactly. Or just tell the loan officer, look, I don't need a prepay penalty. There's no reason I should have a prepay penalty. Now, granted, if you don't have a problem with a prepay penalty, first of all, I would never take one that's longer than 1 year, because you just don't know what's going to happen. A year tends to go pretty quick. A two-year or a three-year prepay penalty could possibly get you in trouble if, for instance, you're forced to move. Maybe your husband's job has a change or your job has a change, and you must move out of state. Well, you still got a prepay penalty. So I would never recommend anything more than a year. In fact, I'd never recommend them at all. But
well, it's like locking yourself into a long-term cell phone contract and then having the iPhone come out. I mean, that's a very minor version of it, but you're basically seeing that in a much expanded, a much more expensive type of situation.
Exactly. And prepay penalties typically are 6 months of interest. So if your payments, let's say your payment's $2,500 a month, you know, your prepay penalty is going to be pretty close to $13,000. So it's going to be, you know, it's going to be quite a bit of money. So definitely corner your loan officer and say, hey, I know I don't need a prepay penalty. Well, you know, what rate will I have if I don't have one? Because it'll also lower your rate slightly, but I don't.
Your rate would have to go up dramatically to replace $13,000, though.
Exactly. And typically loan officers will give you the choice of both. They'll say, hey, you can get. And prepay penalties have actually gone away a little bit. You don't see them nearly as often as you did 2 years ago. But they'll give you a choice. You can get 6.5% with no prepay penalty, or we can get you 6.25% with a 1 year prepay penalty. That would be the way you want him to offer it to you if he does, because you don't want him padding his pocket with the prepay penalty, is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, and that's something we always need to look out for. And I know we've done shows before on fees to watch out for. And obviously, here's another one that people need to be aware of.
Exactly. Okay, that brings us to question number three, Doug. This is Brad from Phoenix, wants to know the difference between a licensed and an unlicensed loan officer, and if he should, you know, worry if they're not licensed. Good question, Brad. And it's something I'm glad you're checking on, because it means you're checking out your loan officer. Definitely, they should be licensed. The only case where a loan officer wouldn't be licensed in your state, you're in Arizona, would be if they're a bank a bank loan officer. Banks, any loan officers working for banks do not need to be licensed under a federal law exemption. But in, let me take it to California too, since most of our listeners are in California. In California, there's two types of licenses. There's actually four, but there's really two. There are two divisions. There's the Department of Real Estate, which licenses mortgage companies, and there's the Department of Corporations, which licenses mortgage companies. If a mortgage company is licensed under the Department of Corporations, their loan officers are not required to be licensed. However, very few mortgage companies are licensed under the Department of Corporations. Typically, it's your bigger lenders that are. Most likely, your loan officer is going to be under the Department of Real Estate rules, and that requires them to be licensed. They must take the real estate test, and they must pass it, of course, and be a licensed loan officer. And it's really easy to check in California. Actually, all the states are easy to check now. You just simply Google. In Arizona, it's the Financial Institutions Division, and you Google the Arizona Financial Institutions Division, and it'll give you a list of all the licensed mortgage companies and all the licensed loan officers underneath those mortgage companies. In California, it's just as easy. You Google the Department of Real Estate. Actually, it's www.dre.ca.gov, and it gives you a link to check and see if your mortgage company is licensed, and it shows you the loan officers that are licensed underneath that company. So it's really, I'm glad you're doing your homework, Brad. It's a really good thing to check out because you've got to be licensed, first of all. And at least if they are licensed, it shows you they're professional about it and they're serious about it and they're not just in it for a quick buck and, you know, ready to leave when the industry turns on them.
Now, do you see any indication that licenses are more trustworthy or more predictable or are better in any fashion? Or what's your story there?
Typically, what you'll find is and this is a totally blanket statement, but the licensed loan officers typically tend to be a lot better. In California, you have to be licensed. So what you'll find is you'll find what they call, they'll call them assistants or whatever, and they'll be working for someone they'll actually be acting as a loan officer. But typically, they're more prone to do things that you wouldn't do because they don't have anything to lose. They don't have a license to lose.
Right.
And the funny thing is the Department of Real Estate has a very tough time prosecuting, that's not the word I want, but they have a very tough time going after unlicensed loan officers because they don't fall under their jurisdiction. I know it sounds stupid, but
right,
if they're licensed, they can penalize them and take away their license. If they're not licensed, they can't do anything to them. They even have a hard time finding them. So it's very important that they're licensed, and it's really easy to check. I mean, it'll take you 30 seconds to check.
So let's make sure we get some links on the website. I know you mentioned some sites there to check
we'll
out
on
them.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and get you those links for the website so you guys can check out your loan officers. It's certainly important to do because that's where it comes down to whether you get a good loan or not is if your loan officer is experienced. Thank you for joining us on Mortgages Made Simple. And be sure to join us next week when we talk about another interesting and informative mortgage subject.
For more information, visit the website at pacificresidential.com. There you can find past shows, interesting blog posts, and more. Do you have a question for Rick? Email mortgagepodcast@gmail.com or call our listener line at 714-519-7833. If you listen to Mortgages Made Simple directly from the website, please consider subscribing. It's free and you'll receive each new episode automatically. You'll find a link on the website, pacificresidential.com. Are you looking for a great home loan? Call Pacific Residential at 888-868-2198. Tell your loan officer you're a podcast listener and receive a free credit report. If you later get your loan through Pacific Residential, when your loan closes, we'll refund the appraisal fee for podcast listeners. This show is a production of WelchRite.com, WelchRite.com.